We are in chapter 19, and hopefully we'll be able to get through that chapter today, Lord be willing. If I were to give the title today, I suppose it would be the greatest battle ever fought. Of course, we're referring to the great and almighty battle that the Lord will commence on when he returns to earth, the Battle of Armageddon. In the Valley of Megiddo, Valley of Jehoshaphat. I told you to get to Revelation 19. Now I need to get there. Okay. Glad to have each and every one of you with us today. Brother Henry Dorman and his wife is with us today. He's pastored for a number of years and has been a good servant of the Lord. Glad to have you, Henry. Glad to be here. Glad to be in God's presence today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I can't and I don't want to do anything without you helping me. Hide me behind the cross today. Lord, help us to see what you want us to see. Give us understanding hearts and minds to receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Reached in my pocket. I got my communion cup. Hey, if you didn't get a communion cup, you can do so. Just go. There's a box back at the church when you came in. We're going to have communion at the end of the service. If you didn't receive one, just go ahead and go back and get that because we're going to need it at the end of the service. Revelation chapter 19. Having a little help with the commentary. Sometimes they're help, sometimes they're a hindrance, but I try to use them when I can. In verse 12, in the latter part of verse 12 of chapter 19, it said that no man, that he had a name written that no man knew, but he himself. Now in the scriptures, names had meanings, and it usually revealed the nature of the person. So we have some aspects of our Lord's nature that I think, obviously, is incomprehensible to these finite minds. There's some things that hasn't all been revealed to us that's sort of incomprehensible for us. And that sort of is what's in play here with this particular scripture verse. He has a name that no one knows but he himself. He is all majesty and has many, many attributes which belong to him and him alone. And when he comes forth out of heaven for the war on the beast, he will come in his power and greatness in heights of great majesty and glory that you and I haven't ever yet been able to comprehend, which no one knows but himself. Look at verse 13. We've talked a little bit about this in Isaiah. If you have that verse, Dale, you can put that up for me. Isaiah chapter 63, verses 1 through 6, will perhaps help us to understand this verse. Isaiah the prophet spoke of this many, many years ago. Verse 13, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now, what is this vesture dipped in blood? With the context in which it's here written, the next verse tells us, which we won't go there yet because I'd like to read Isaiah 63. Is it behind me? Verse 1 through 6. Who is this that cometh from Eden with dyed garments from Bozrah? This is that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save, why art thou red in thine apparel? Thy garments are like him who treadeth in the wine fat. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the peoples there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments. I will stain all of my raiment, for the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year my redeemed has come. And I looked, and there was none to help. I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation to me, and my fury, it upheld me. And I will tread down the peoples in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. This is referring now to Revelation 2, when the Lord will fight the battle of all battles. He's arrayed in red garments. It reveals the day of vengeance. Men have rejected the mercy of God that was offered through his sacrificial death of his son on the cross, and now they will suffer the judgment of God at the hands of the one that they have rejected. Christ's glorious appearing is not going to be a time of joy to the unsaved, but quite the contrary. It'll be a time of great sorrow, because the day of God's wrath is come. And his name is called the Word of God. The Apostle John, we're told, is the only writer of the New Testament who used this expression concerning Christ as being the Word of God when he described Jesus. This is a Greek word, logos, and it literally means the expression of God. As a word is an expression of our thoughts, so Christ is the expression of God. As we reveal our thoughts from one human mind to another through the use of words, Christ is the eternal Word of God, which reveals God to men. If men would know God, they need to only study about his Son, Jesus Christ, for he hath revealed him. Okay. Verse 14, are you still following with me? And the armies, plural, which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Who are these armies? Well, let me give you this for some thought. We believe the armies of heaven consist of the angelic hosts, the Old Testament saints, the church, and the tribulation saints who were martyred during tribulation period. That comprises quite the army. But the more significant thing about this is the way in which they are clothed. They are clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Quite different than our military men and women that are issued fatigue uniforms for their battle dress and for their camouflage. And because war is such a very dirty conflict, light clothing would be severely soiled. But our commander in chief of the heavenly forces closes his army in white, certainly a practice unheard of in the history of warfare. But I can tell you the reason we need not overlook. For no member of the armies of Christ that come with him in his glorious appearing will do battle. Not one of us will lift a finger, for the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. And it'll be consummated with the spoken word of God. Wow. Whew, what a big difference. Are we ready for verse 15? Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Of course, we believe that this represents God's word. It is his word, and his word is so powerful. He spoke, and the world came into being. He spoke, and everything therein came into being. He spoke, the sun and the moon came into being. He spoke, and he said it was all good. It was all good. The spoken word of God. Someone's asked me, what one thing in the entire Bible would you like to have been around to see. And I'd have to tell you, probably creation. That would be my choice. If the Lord Jesus said, Roger, what would you like to see that I've done in my lifetime? I'd say, Lord, I'd like to see your creation. Could you take me back and see? Let me see all that. Wow. Wow. How amazing that would be, wouldn't it, Henry? How amazing it would be. Oh, beautiful. His power, his coming with the armies of heaven, not only will do away with Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophets, and the other millions that they deceived, but it will usher in the millennial kingdom. The righteous reign of Christ upon the earth can be clearly seen in the next verse 16. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name that is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As he goes forth in the battle with his sword in his thigh, the Lord's sword will be his word. And that word that had called all the world into being will call the leaders of the men and the armies of all nations in control. And on the sword in his thigh, his name was written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will establish that day, for he is the King above all kings. He is the Lord above all lords. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Look at verse 17. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Now, we talked about a supper, but it's quite different than the supper we talked about in an earlier time. Quite different. In fact, there's a few facts here that I was not going to share, but we have some time. I'd like to share these facts. This area where the battle is to be fought, in this valley of Jehoshaphat, the plain of Megiddo, in this particular area, more battles were fought than any other place in the world. Let me give you a list of the battles that were fought, starting with the earliest one. I don't know if I can pronounce it, but it looks like Thomes, Thothmes, was fought in 1500 BC. Then there's Ramesses, that should be a familiar name, king of Egypt, pharaoh of Egypt, actually to refer him to, in 1350 BC, Sargon, 722 BC, Sennacherib, 710 BC, Nebuchadnezzar, 606 BC, Ptolemy, 197 BC, Antiochus Epiphanes, 168 BC, Pompey, 63 BC, Titus, 70 AD, Khusru, the Persian king, 614 AD, Omar, 637 AD, the Crusades under the St. Louis of France, 909 AD, Saladin, who conquered Richard the Lionhearted in 1187 AD, and the Ottoman forces in 1616 AD, all happened in the Megiddo Plain, this great plain where the Battle of Armageddon will take place. There, Satan and his hordes will come and meet their appointment with God. Three renowned mountains overlook this valley, the mountain of Carmel, Gilboa, and Tabor. We remember what happened to Mount Carmel, where Elijah's God met the devil-possessed Baal worshipers of Jezebel. We see this wasn't just a personal conflict to Elijah, but we see this as a conflict between good and evil, between God and the devil. Isn't it interesting? In this same place is where the great battle of our Lord will transpire. Ezekiel the prophet speaks of the carnage of this battle. I speak from Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 17 through 22. And thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourselves and come and gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice, that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood, that you shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, goats, and bullocks, all them fatlings of Bashan. You shall eat fat till ye be full, and drink blood till ye be drunk, of my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you. Thus you shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots and mighty men, and with all men of war, saith the Lord God. I will set my glory among the nations, and all the nations shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord your God from that day forward. Ezekiel 39:17-22. Ezekiel 38 and 39 speak of the destruction of the armies of Gog and Magog who come against Israel. In Ezekiel 38, verse 1, Gog's armies come against Israel. They are opposed by the Western Confederation of Nations. Armageddon will find all the armies of the earth united now against Christ. Chapter 38, verse 13 of Ezekiel says, Sheba and Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, with all its young lines shall say to thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Israel, living in a land of unwalled villages in a time of peace, which will not be their lot in the latter half of the tribulation period. Verse 17, still with me? And I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves to the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and enslaved, both small and great. And in verse 19, and I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth. Their armies were gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. In one moment, man stands in his physical, in all his physical might, filled with hate and bitterness, attacking the very headquarters of our Lord. But the next moment, his flesh is food for the ravenous birds of the heavens. Quite a picture of the futility of man in putting his will against our Lord. Oh, that men might see that the wisdom of man is foolishness with God. Who will triumph through the one whom he hath ordained, the Lord Jesus Christ? Verse 20. The beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped the image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone. Verse 21, no one escapes the wrath of the Lord. In verse 21, the remnant that were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeds out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. You see, no one escapes in this last great battle, as no man will escape him in the eternal judgment as well. No man is a match for our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Come to him now, if you have not already. Humble yourselves and invite him into your life, for he is a loving Savior. If you reject him now, you will be consumed by his wrath in that day. I'd like to have a prayer now with these that perhaps are watching by way of the internet. Heavenly Father, if you've tuned in today to this broadcast, I pray that if you're without Jesus today, please humble yourself and invite him to come and live in your heart right now. Ask him and invite him to come and live in your heart. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I want you to come now and live in my heart. I hope that you're able to pray that prayer today. From this day forward, may you live for the Lord, because there's a day coming when all men will bow before him and pronounce him to be the Lord of lords and King of kings. Indeed, he is. Every knee will bow. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen and amen.